The Lord is here with us this morning. Let's seek His face together. Let's pray and break our hearts afresh. Oh, Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we come before You, God. We thank You, Lord, that You are working in the heart of Your people, God. The hearts of Your church, Lord. We thank You, Lord, that You do all things decently and in order, God. And You are not the author of confusion, Father. We thank You, Lord, that You are sovereign, almighty God. That You are brooding over us, Lord, with longing and desire that we know You. The depth of who You are, Father. That we see ourselves as who we are and what we are, Lord. In order that we might glorify You. Bring praise to You and honor You with our lives, Father. You are a God of healing, restoration, deliverance, and mercy. We thank You, Lord, that You, who are high and holy and lofty, Lord, have chosen to extend Your mercy to us through the person of Your Son, the Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that You would take what's remaining of this morning, God, that You would fill it with Your Spirit, Your conviction. Lord, that You would use it for Your glory, God. I confess I'm just a vessel here, Father. I have nothing to bring. And Lord, I don't even know what there is to bring right now, Father. But Lord, I pray that You would add to this service what You see is fitting. God, that You would guard my mind and my thoughts from anything that would distract from Your heart. Lord, I lay aside all of my plans, all of my thoughts. And Lord, I just give this time to You. I thank You for my brother Denny, for my sister Jackie, God. I thank You for such a blessed interruption this morning, Father. You are the God of mercy, the God of all comfort. You are the God of reconciliation and restoration and healing. And I pray in the name of Jesus that You would take the confessions that come from their mouths and their hearts, Father, and that You'd bless them, God. That You would pour grace upon their lives, Father. And Lord, as they've come here to share, God, I pray in the name of Jesus that You would continue the work of healing, restoring, cleansing, and breaking hearts. Lord, I give this morning's time to You. And I pray in the name of Jesus that You would be pleased and honored. The remainder of this service for Christ's sake, in whose name we pray. The name of Jesus, the blessed name of Jesus. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in Your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Knowing how to respond this morning and how to begin this morning, it's a bit difficult. I can definitely say my plans are not happening today. And praise God. Praise God. God is doing a work in our midst. He is refining fire. He desires to refine and purify our hearts to make us more like Him. We've heard testimonies this morning of brothers and sisters whom God started one day, many years back, to reach down to lost and dying souls and bring them to the reality of their need and their desperate plight, to bring them to a place of repentance and life before the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom they realized one day they would give an account. Heard the testimony of God changing men's lives and saving their souls, delivering them from sin and its power. We've heard of God's working in their lives, guiding them day by day, shaping them and molding them to make them more like Himself. I've had a brother and sister come and share. A brother that many of us have looked up to for many years. Come with a broken and contrite heart, confessing his own need, confessing the work of the Holy Spirit on his own heart, And I bless God. God still moves in the hearts of His people. As my brother Denny was sharing, I confess I felt some of the things he said the same way. The pride, the high-mindedness. Struggled with things I've seen in my own life. As I've been in a press for the last number of weeks, a press of demand and pressure and stress and work and hours of sleep and all those things. And in the midst of it all, I've looked at my own life and seen things squeezing out that have disturbed me, bothered me, seen a hardness and a callousness come over my heart that has concerned me and even frightened me. And you know, I heard a preacher say one time, he said, what comes out of a lemon when you squeeze it? Lemon juice. When you're squeezed, things come out of you, but they come out of your heart. It's not the pressure, it's not the difficulty that produces those things in our hearts, it's the difficulty that reveals it. It's the testing of God that reveals what's inside of our hearts and inside of our lives. And God in His mercy allows us to go through those times, those agonizing and difficult times, so that He in His mercy can reveal the things in our own lives and in our own hearts that we can't see otherwise. You see, when things are all going well, things seem pretty well, we feel pretty good about ourselves. But when we get down in the valley, we see things in our lives we didn't see before. We grow down there. That's been my testimony. I bless God for the valleys of my life. I wouldn't vote for a one of them. If I had it to do again and I could say I want that, I wouldn't say I wanted it. But I praise God that He takes everything that we walk through as His children and uses it for good in our lives. That's the God we serve. And He is wonderful. And He is altogether lovely and beautiful. It's in those valleys in my own life that I can say, God revealed things in my heart. Did a cleansing, a washing, a changing. It wasn't easy, and it wasn't fun. But looking back, I look at the peaceable fruit of righteousness that God has brought. And as I've went through these last weeks, I thought, Lord, I'm in another one of those times. Another one of those squeezing times where I see things coming out of my own heart, in my own life, the distractions, the demands. Say, God, I need You afresh to work these things out of my heart. Often we blame our response, our anger, our frustration, our irritation, our coldness of heart. We blame it on the circumstances. But may we believe the words of the Lord Jesus, that what comes out of a man is that which defiles him. Because what comes out of a man comes from his heart. For out of the heart flow all the issues of life. God's concerned with our hearts. Yes, many of us gave our lives to the Lord a number of years back and started the beginning of what's become a wonderful journey. But God's just as desirous of our hearts today as He was for me 12 years ago. Desiring to change and cleanse and purify. May He have His way with us here this morning. I don't know what's on your hearts or your thoughts or your minds. But may we reach in and find out what's on God's heart for us. I'm going to just read out of the book of Isaiah. Chapter 66. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is My throne, and the earth is My footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto Me? And where is the place of My rest? For all those things hath My hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb is as if he cut a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation is as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense is as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own way, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that in which I delighted not. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at His word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified. But He shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. The verses begin, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne. He said a few chapters back, He described Himself. He says, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. He described Himself as the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity. That's God's description of Himself. I am the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity. And then He calls Himself by His name, whose name is holy. When we approach God, yes, we are approaching a high and lofty God who inhabits eternity, and His name is holy. His name is holy. He says, I dwell in the high and holy place. This is where God dwells. In the high and the holy place. This is the God we serve. There's a place for friendship with Jesus Christ. There's a place for walking and enjoying the Lord Jesus. Oh, praise God. But it begins here. He is the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, and He dwells in the high and holy place. This is where our relationship began, when it began. This is where our relationship with Him continues. I'm preaching this message to myself. Had a whole other set of notes here this morning. I'm not going that way. Our relationship begins in relating with a high and holy and lofty God. But He says there, I dwell in the high and holy place. It's one place. And with Him also that is of a contrite and a humble spirit. He says, I do dwell in the high and holy place. I inhabit eternity. And I also dwell with Him who is of a humble and a contrite spirit. Contrite means crushed to powder, or bruised, or crumbled, broken to pieces, beat to pieces. Nothing rising, nothing to glory in. He says, this is who I also dwell with, the humble ones, the ones that don't see themselves as so great and so high. I dwell with these too. The ones who have nothing to glory in. Nothing to exalt themselves in. Nothing to pride themselves over. I do dwell in the high and lofty place, but I also dwell with those who are crushed to powder. But it doesn't end there. And that's the wonder of a walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't end there that He just dwells with those who are crushed to powder, because He does something with us. He does something with us that's so beautiful, but it's only when we're in that place of brokenness and contriteness before a living Lord Jesus. He says that He dwells also with the contrite and humble spirit for a purpose. To revive the heart of the contrite ones. The word revive there implies something that we need to consider. When you revive something because there's no life in it. Or the life that was supposed to be in it is waning to the point of extinction. When something is revived, it's dead. The only time I ever did CPR on another person was while the person was alive, and it was for practice. There was no purpose, there was no reason. But when God revives the heart of a person, He revives the person because their condition is dead and dying. And God says, I dwell in the high and lofty place. I inhabit eternity and my name is holy. That means there is no unrighteousness in Him. No ungodliness. Nothing that defiles in Him. He is pure altogether. When He is squeezed and crunched and crushed under the pressures of the world that He created that's fallen in sin, nothing ungodly or unrighteous or defiling comes out of Him. He is altogether holy and pure. He calls Himself a refining fire that purifies. And His desire in our lives is to be a refining fire that purifies and changes us. And He comes to Him who is contrite and humble in spirit to revive the heart of the contrite ones. The word revive literally means to make alive, to give life, to live, to quicken, to be restored to full. To be restored to life. The broken and contrite realize what they need. Many times we get the idea that we're religious people. We have a good religion. You know, Jesus came into the world to establish Christianity. Sometimes we come into that thinking, and He came into the world to establish Christianity so people could follow His religion and we could be part of churches and confess to some religion, but the Bible doesn't speak anything about Jesus coming into the world to give religion. You see, the world didn't need religion. The world needs life. The world needs life. Religion divides. We can argue over all of our religious doctrines and all of our statements and all of our places that we stand. We can argue and battle with brothers over these things. But Jesus came to give life. And He came to give life to poor and needy and broken and contrite sinners just like you and me. He didn't come to establish a new religion. He came to give life. He says here in Isaiah 66, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne. And the earth that you and I live on is the place I put my feet. This is God speaking. Heaven is my throne. The earth where you dwell, where you work, where you do all of your labor, where you make all of your plans. The earth where you live out your lives and your course is the place of my feet. It's my footstool. Everything we do, everything we labor in, everything we contend for, everything we labor for in this world and of this world is in a plane that rests at the feet, beneath the feet of our God. He said, heaven is my throne. The earth where you live is the stool for my feet. And then He begins to ask some questions, some very provoking questions that we need to listen to. Where is the house that you build unto me? Why is He saying this? Where is the house that you're going to build unto me, says the Lord, the high and lofty one who dwells in heaven? Where's the great exploit that you're going to perform for me? Where's the great plan and the great purpose that You're going to build up for me? Where's this great act on Your part that's going to impress me and give me a place to live? For the whole plain on which You live is the place that my feet rest. For all these things my hands have made, and all these things have been, saith the Lord. Everything we work with, everything we do, everything we have, Paul said, what is there that we have not received? All that we are and all that we have has come from the Lord Jesus Christ. For in Him all fullness dwells. For of Him and through Him and for Him are all things. And He says, where's the house You're going to build for me? All that You have is what I've given to You. All that You have to work with is what I have given to You. All the abilities that You exercise are abilities I've given to You. And all the materials You work with, even the wisdom and the understanding and the knowledge that You have, is something that I have given to You. Where is the house that You, mortal man, are going to build for me? And where is the place that You are going to make for me to lie down and rest? These are not the words of man, these are the words of God. Where is the place of my rest? For all these things my hands have made, and all these things have been, saith the Lord. But to this one will I look. To this one will I look. I think we need to take heed and listen. What God has just told us in just a few lines, He doesn't waste His breath. He gets to the point quickly. He has just told us in a few lines, there's nothing, absolutely nothing You can do to impress me. There's nothing You can do to merit my favor. There's nothing You can do as a courtesy to me. Absolutely nothing You can do to deserve my mercy in your life. And we've got a problem greater than just not knowing how to impress God. Sometimes people go through all kinds of antics and acts to try to impress somebody else so that they'll just look upon them and notice them. I see it in the workplace, and you see it in different places. You even see it in the church. People behave in such a manner so that somebody will look on them with some recognition and maybe lift them up a little bit and acknowledge them. We see it all the time. But the problem in a relationship with God isn't simply He doesn't see where we're at. We know, you and I know, the problem between us and a relationship with God is much deeper than that. You see, it's not just we're in a room with a whole bunch of people and here's this one and we're all on one plane, you know, and God's just out looking around trying to, I'm going to grab this one, I'm going to grab this one. No, the Bible says our sin separates us from God. Our sin separates us from God. Brother David opened up this morning and my heart rejoiced with the book of the Revelation, chapter 20, as he spoke some sobering words. Now I want us to consider them. I'm going to start in verse 4. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither His image, neither had received His mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with Him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. And then he goes on and he says at verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The Apostle John says, I saw the dead, the small, the meaningless, the pitiful, the nothing, and the great, the high, the exalted ones that rose to power and recognition in the world, whose names are in our history books. The men that we look back upon and we remember with such admiration for their valiancy. He said, I saw the dead, both small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. But you know, God has books. When John saw it, I'm sure it was a scroll. And the scrolls were opened and loosed. And another book was opened, which is the book of a new religion, of a new church roster. No, another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And the books were opened, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. We've all done works in our lives, haven't we? We've all labored. We've all performed many things and done many things and said many things, some which we may look back upon with pleasure and some which we probably look with regret and disappointment. But there are books written and written about every one of our lives. Everything we've done, everything that came out in the press is written down and inscribed. The Bible speaks of a handwriting of ordinances that was against us, that was contrary to us, and that's speaking of those things that are written. Did you know God has a pen and the things of your life are written down in scrolls in heaven? Everything about our lives is written down. How could we stand in that great and dreadful day? How could we ever stand? Heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. All these things my hands have made, all these things have been. Where is the house that you're going to build for me? Where is the place of my rest? You see, something separates us from our God a lot more than just that we haven't risen high enough for Him to see our head over the crowds. Something separated Zacchaeus from the Lord more than that he was shorter than all the other people. Our sin separates us from our God. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. There is a book of life in heaven. And it's a book in whose pages are inscribed the names of those who have received life from God. Who have received life from God. The Bible says of the Lord Jesus Christ, in Him was life, and the life is the light of men. This is a real day. Do you believe that? We are going to bear witness to this. Do you believe that? We're all going to stand in this day. And there's going to be a book opened. And it's going to be the book of life. Whose names are written in it? He came to give life to the humble and the contrite and the broken. That's whose names are written in it. He said, where is the place that you're going to build for me? Where's the house you will build for me? Where's the place of my rest? On this one will I look, on him who is broken and of a contrite heart and trembles at my word. I dwell in the high and lofty place. I inhabit eternity. My name is holy, says the Lord. I dwell in the high and holy place and with him who is broken and contrite of heart, to revive the heart of the humble and the contrite. God's desire is that we have life. And we have life in the place of brokenness before a living God. There is a book written, and whose names are written in that book are those that are found in the book of life. Those who are bowed broken and contrite before the Lord Jesus. Yes, one time. Yes, one time we did it, right? But those who live in a state of brokenness, in contriteness before the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who daily have nothing to offer Him that can merit that they be able to stand in this great and dreadful day. It is a great and dreadful day. And you will be there. And I will be there. We'll be witnessing at least just as John was witnessing. The great white throne judgment seat of God. The Bible says when lust is conceived, it produces sin. And when sin is full grown, it brings forth death. James said, sin destroys. Sin defiles. And in Him there is no sin. And in the Lord Jesus there was no sin. And in God He is holy. There is nothing that defiles in Him. Sin separates us from God. And sin merits the judgment of God. And it says that we'll be judged according to our works. As the books are opened and the book of life is opened, is your name written there? Are you abiding in life? Or are you abiding in death? The Bible says He came to revive the heart of the humble and the contrite. And oh, when we walk with the Lord, when we enjoy fellowship with the Lord, when He changes our lives, for some reason, that very thing that God saved us from, we begin to pride ourselves over and exalt ourselves and think we're better than them. We have it better. We do it better. We're right. We've learned a better way. Look at them. And we lose the humility and the brokenness that brought us to our knees the first time. Where are you? This is a real day when real books will be opened and the book of life. Verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Read stories of missionaries who died at sea and their bodies were thrown overboard. Heard many stories when I was in the military of people whose bodies were cast overboard or that gave their lives by jumping off of the ship and dropped into the sea to be eaten by sharks or whatever else would have happened there. But the Bible says the sea gave up the dead which were in it. You see, we've heard testimonies. We've heard confessions. But it's all about something that's very real. The reality of a real resurrection. Do we believe in the resurrection? Jesus rose from the grave, yes. But the fact that He rose from the grave says we too will raise from our graves. And we'll stand before God. We'll stand before God. And blessed and holy is He who has part in the first resurrection. For on Him the second death has no power. You see, there is a second death. I was at an appointment with my wife as we're expecting another child in May. And she had to go and get some blood work done. And when she went into the back office to have her blood drawn, I was in the waiting room and there were people there, just a couple, and an old man came into the room. And you know, in our society, people treat old men like they're just something wrong with them and they need to get out of the way. The old man had a gruff voice and he came in there and he said, yeah, they want me to have this. And they kind of look at, oh, what's this? What's wrong with this guy? He's talking loud. His ears don't work well. He's up there in years quite a bit. And then he sat down and people were giving him odd looks. And I thought, Lord, I want to talk to this man about his soul. And I went over to that man and I began to talk up to him and see how he was doing. And he shared me the history of his life. And he shared with me a history that was so sad. He was 80-some years old now. His name was Merle. And he said he'd had cancer. He'd had open heart surgery. He described himself as a two-time loser because he'd been married two times and lost both times. And he said, you know, I never dreamed. I thought maybe my son would get divorced. I thought maybe I wouldn't see my son again, but I never dreamed I would never see my daughter. I never dreamed she wouldn't have any part in my life. I never dreamed I never would see my grandson. And I told him, sin. Sin. Sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Death. Yes, this man lived a miserable existence. And I told him of the Lord Jesus, that he believed on the, if he would believe on the Lord Jesus, that he could have life in Him, that Jesus died because we are sinners. And the story that he told me was a story of sin and its destruction on a man's life. And that sin brings many broken dreams, many broken plans, many broken ambitions. And yes, it brings it in your lives too as believers. Sin destroys. Sin in your life destroys. Sin destroys those that you love and that you care about. Sin destroys your children when you have your angry attitudes toward them. Sin destroys the spirit of your wife. Sin destroys the heart of your husband. Yes, in our homes too. As he told me of the path of sin that he went down. And I told him of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that Jesus came into the world for sinners. So that even though we die, yet we can live with Him. And the second death has no power on those. And he said, you know, they've told me that there's life, and then there's death, and then there's life. This is an 80-some-year-old man sitting with me in the midst of a hospital room as he's getting tests to see what he has now. To see how many more medications he needs to be on. To see how long his life may be. And he said, you know, they tell me there's life, and then there's death, and then there's life. That there's life after death. Do you believe that? And I said, only for those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is there life after death. And he began to talk about the Lord Jesus, and he said, you know, I never understood why they put nails in his hands when they hung him on the cross. And I began to talk to him about how the world showed its ugly face, how the world feels about God. I said there was an old proverb among the Jewish people for many years that says, if God lived on earth, people would break His windows. I said when the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, the world showed how it really feels about God. And that's why Jesus hung upon the cross with nails in His hands, naked and beaten. Because that's what our sin does to God. That's how man, a sinner, responds to God. That is the nature of sin. But God in His own mercy sent His own Son. That because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The righteous for the ungodly. This is the nature of life. Jesus came into the world to give men life. Men, yes, those very men that hung Him on the cross and ridiculed Him and scorned Him. The very thief that was standing next to Him that had just moments earlier spoken bitterness out against Him according to the Gospels. The very one who had just spoken of Him and ridiculed and mocked Him. And He said, remember Me when you enter into your kingdom. And this God of mercy and grace who was hanging on that center cross looked over with mercy on that thief and said, son, this day you will be with Me in paradise. He came to give life. That man on that second cross there had nothing to offer for himself. He couldn't say, I'm going to build you a great house. I'm going to do a great thing for you. I'm going to do great exploits for you. But He was the only man in that whole crowd who stood up for the one that was hanging on the center cross. This man's done nothing amiss. We're here for our own faults. Have you ever seen yourself on any of those other crosses? Have you ever seen yourself as deserving that cross or that cross? But here's the one on the center saying, He's done nothing. Here's the one they're saying that's on the center, He's done nothing amiss. He did nothing. But why was He there? For your sins and my sins. Our sins separate us from God. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Life. Life. The wages of sin is death. But the free, unmerited gift of God is a new religion that makes you feel good about yourself? No. Eternal life. Everlasting life. Through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Not by works that we had done, but by His own blood. And by His own grace He saved us and delivered us from a wretched and empty and miserable life. But not only from that, here's an 80-some-year-old man saying to me, do you believe that? A man getting this ready to have the next face he sees be the throne of God. That's going to rest in a place of torment for who knows how many years. The Bible says, when the dead die, they don't just die. We see in Luke chapter 16, a rich man that had everything in this world and he died and he woke up in torment. Awaiting this day. Do you believe that? He was in torment awaiting this day. He'll be tormented until this day. And those that believe on the Lord Jesus go to be with Him. Their souls go to be with Him in a place of bliss and paradise, awaiting this day. There is a resurrection. You see, when you die, your soul departs from your body. But there will come a day when body and soul will be raised. Those who die, as this man I was speaking of that wondered, is it life, then death, then life? And this was a question on his mind as I tried to share with him. Obviously, he lived his life as if there was not. How are you living your life? Are you living your life as if there's going to come a day when the graves will be opened and the dead shall rise, some to everlasting life and some to everlasting shame and contempt? Are you living your life as if that's true? We're going to live maybe a mere 60, 70, 80 years, maybe 20, maybe 18. But the graves will open. And the dead shall rise at the sound of the trump of God. It's able to wake the dead just as the voice of Jesus woke Lazarus from his tomb. All the more the trumpet of God will wake the dead. And they will rise and stand before God. And only those that will stand in the presence of God are those whose names are written in the book of life, who God has looked down in unmerited mercy and favor upon and grace, and those who walk and abide in that place of brokenness and humility before a living God. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell were delivered up. And death and hell delivered up the dead, which were in them. The graves and Hades, the waiting place, the place where souls wait for this final judgment, the place where this rich man was waiting in torment, wanting a drop of water to be dripped on his tongue as he waited. And he said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus. That he may take his finger in the water and drip a drop of water on my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. This is Hades, the place of waiting. This man is waiting for this day. And Hades will give up the dead that is in it. And they will rise with their bodies and stand before the living God. All that died, all that went to Hades. So that place of waiting. will be given up. You see, it doesn't end with death. You live like it ends with death. Paul said, if there's no resurrection of the dead, those who are living their lives sold out for God, suffering for His sake, living for His sake, are of all men the most miserable. Are you giving your life fully for the Lord Jesus? If you are, if there is no resurrection, it's all a waste and in vain. But I want to say many people live like there's no resurrection. Like this day doesn't exist. They live to satisfy themselves. They live according to their own plans, their own ideas, their own dreams. Jesus said, store up treasures in heaven where neither moth or rust destroy and thieves can't break in and steal. Do you live like there's going to be a resurrection? There's going to be a resurrection and death in Hades will deliver up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to his works. Praise God, we're saved not according to our works. Aren't you glad? Here's where the full works of man are exposed as what they are and what they're able to do. The valiant, the strong. I'm sure many great theologians are going to have their works there. I'm sure many a religious man who sat in a religious pew will have his works there. And they're going to be judged according to their works. Why? Because their names weren't written in the book of life. Their sins hadn't been washed by the blood, cleansed, delivered by that man who hung on the middle of the cross, who had done nothing amiss, who suffered outer darkness when all became dark, who thirsted in your place and in my place. Those that never believed on Him in this great day of the resurrection will stand before God and be judged according to their works. This is the work of God. Believe on the Son. This is the work of God. Believe on Him whom He sent. This is the only thing you can do to merit the favor and blessing of God is to believe on the One whom He sent, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. All the other works will be shown for what they are. And death and Hades and the sea and all those things will give up the dead which are in them. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Do you live like this is true? If you've been spared from this second death, do you live like it's true? Do you tell the man that you see in that room being treated with scorn by others? Do you go and tell him about the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you tell those that you stand with that this is true? It's true. Do you live like it? And do you live like only those works that are done for Christ are going to last forever? Is that the way you live, believer? The resurrection is a real thing. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Who's written in the book of life? Those who humbly and contritely receive life from the living God through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ while they live upon this earth. Those who find from Him life and health and peace and joy in a daily living relationship are those whose names are written in the book of life. Is your name there? The lake of fire is a real place. Did you know that it's empty now? It's awaiting this day when the One to whom all judgment has been committed begins to cast into the lake of fire those that deserve it. He said Himself it was made for the devil and his angels. He didn't say anything about fallen men. The lake of fire was made for the devil and his angels. He said to those on His right side, come you, blessed of my Father, and enter into the kingdom that was prepared for you before the foundations of the world. And they entered into everlasting life where there's no more curse, no more sorrow, no more dying. He said, this is what I prepared for you before I framed the world. But to those on His left, He cast out into outer darkness where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth that was prepared for the devil and his angels. The first one to be cast into the lake of fire will be that false prophet that deceived. And the Antichrist will be cast into the lake of fire. And then after the 1,000 years are finished, Satan will be judged. And he'll be too cast into the lake of fire that burns with fire and brimstone forever and ever. And then the souls of all those whose names were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be cast into the lake that burns with fire and brimstone forever and ever. Do you believe this? It's written over and over in the Word of God. Jesus described it and the prophet Isaiah described it as the place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. It's the place where no matter what a man tries to do, he won't be able to quench this fire. No matter what he does at this time, there's nothing he can do to extinguish the flames. And it's a place where the maggots that are scrolling through there and eating the rotten, decaying corpses of those who have been thrown into this horrible pit of fire and flames, those maggots will never die as they consume and consume the corpses and souls of those who have been cast into it. And the smoke of their torment will ascend forever and ever. This is the second death. Blessed is holy, and holy is he who takes part in the first resurrection. For on him the second death has no power. Do you believe this? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you seen yourself as a sinner who all his works would deserve nothing but the lake of fire? And believe on the price he paid for you. The wrath of God poured out on his Son as he hung upon the cross. That's what you see. A man suffering differently than the man on the right or on the left, for he became a curse for us. And they were suffering for their own sins. Have you believed on him? If you haven't, I tell you this day, turn and live. For God says, I have no pleasure whatsoever when a wicked man dies in his sins. He said it through the prophet Ezekiel. When a man dies in his sins and is cast in the lake of fire, it brings God no gratification whatsoever to see a man reach that destiny. He says, turn ye and live. Repent and live. Unquenchable fire. Unquenchable fire. We've seen fire. We've heard of it in our midst in this past week. Fire that was quenched by extinguishers. This fire will never be quenched. And God says, I have no pleasure whatsoever when the wicked man dies in his sin and is cast into the lake of fire. I want him to live. But he made a way through the Lord Jesus Christ that you can live. Let these words sink into your lives. If you are lost today and you deserve the lake of fire and you've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, believe on him today. Don't leave this room without believing. For there is a lake that burns with fire and brimstone whose smoke will ascend forever and ever, where you, your body and soul, will suffer eternal destruction. And believers, do you live like there's a kingdom that endures forever, reserved for us? Jesus is going to say one day to some, well done, my good and faithful servant. Faithful were you in a few things. I make you ruler over many. Do you believe this? Somewhere in our doctrine, in our thinking, we get the idea that Jesus is just going to walk up to every man and say, well done. Somewhere we get that in our eyes. We're wrong. We're wrong. Good and faithful servant. I'm a manager of a business. There are some that work with all their hearts and give themselves fully, and they place themselves in a place of favor and blessing. And there are some that just get by, and there are some that don't do the job well at all. Well done, my good and faithful servant, is reserved for the good and faithful servant. Servant means you're a servant to the Lord Jesus Christ. Is He the priority of your life, or is your house or your farm or your business or whatever else you may be putting yourself into? Do you believe in the resurrection of the dead? Are you storing your treasures in heaven? Or are you living on this earth as if these things that we're reading are not true? I'm going to close now. I'd like to pray, and I'd like to invite you to respond to the Lord. If you are lost, would you acknowledge and come and give your heart to the Lord and break your heart? And if you want to talk with somebody, somebody will be here to talk with you. If you aren't walking in brokenness before the Lord, can I ask you to respond? Even as you heard our brother Denny share just moments ago, would you respond and break your heart afresh before the Lord? Brother, would you lead us in a song after we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, You do all things decently and in order. Have Your way in this assembly. Reach into hearts, convict of sin and righteousness and judgment, and purify lives today only through the blood of Jesus Christ. Have Your way, Lord. Convict by Your Spirit. For it's the Spirit that quickens, the flesh profits nothing. Have Your way, we pray in Jesus' name.
Number 899. 899.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling.
For you.
More abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, he confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge. Fled for refuge. To lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. It is both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. It's not a mistake that the Bible uses those words there. Flee for refuge. Flee for refuge. Flee, because there's something to flee from. Flee for refuge. Not just a fear-driven salvation, but a real-driven salvation. I am fleeing for refuge to the hope that God gave to us to flee to. Let's sing one more verse.
Oh, for the wonderful love He has
I think what we'll do here this morning, you that have responded to the altar this morning, I sense that you probably like more time to pray. The prayer rooms are set up in back in the women's section there. If you would go out the doors here and go all the way to the back, you'll find the prayer room still set up. Why don't you just excuse yourself here while we make some announcements? And then those of you who are counselors, after the service here, why don't you just make your way back there and see if you can be of some help to a soul that's searching or needing some counsel there. Well, I thank God that He plans services. Oh, me of little faith. Is there anyone that would have a confession that they would like to share with the whole congregation before we go on to some announcements? Just raise your hand and we'll get a mic to you. Okay, we have one up here in the front. One there. Brother Tavi, go ahead.
Yes, I just want to share my heart from something that happened last Sunday. And I've actually shared it with my cell group and opened my life up to them, and they very graciously spoke into my life. But I also wanted to share it with the larger brotherhood. Sunday evening, I called my mother to talk with her, just wish her a happy Thanksgiving, that sort of a thing. We have not had a good relationship over the years. And there is some tension between us because I don't feel comfortable visiting with her because of her marriage situation. She and her husband have both been divorced and remarried, and I'm trying to find my way through that. But anyway, after we had visited a little bit, just that and some other things, she proceeded to pick a fight with me, and I failed. I walked right into it, and I lost my temper completely. Completely ungracious to her. I was not Christ-like. I vented my anger towards her. I failed to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord in all pleasing. And I am sorry, my brothers and sisters. I am sorry that I failed. And I'm still in need of prayer. Still need you to remember me and my family. And I'm so thankful for today's message, just the different messages that were coming through. I am a sinner, but I know Jesus, and I know Jesus can set me free from every power of sin that's been at work in my life. And I want to walk before Him humbly and brokenhearted so that I don't fail to walk in a manner worthy of my Lord Jesus, who loved me and saved me. Thank you, brothers and sisters.
Amen. Go ahead, Rebecca.
I was convicted this morning that I have not been living like I believe the things Brother Philip was sharing. And I want to change that. I ask you all to pray for me. I want to live that way. I want to speak to others like I believe those things are real. Mm. Thank you.
Anyone else? Right here, Roger. Okay, go ahead, Ed.
Yeah, praise the Lord that God still broods over His people and cares yeah. for His people. And when Denny was sharing about not having any brokenness, he shared my heart too. I don't see God in my heart the way I'd love to, and I'm myself too much in the way, and self-righteousness that probably snug in, and there's a self-confidence, and I can do nothing without Christ. I want to confess it, and I love the Lord all my heart, but I want to pursue a deeper work in my heart to and get myself out of His way so He can work in my heart. I love the Lord with all my heart, mind, and soul. I know I'm saved, but I see myself getting in the way, and I want to confess, I can do nothing without Him. I love Him, and praise God that we can come to a fellowship where God is still breathing on His people and caring for us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I love you all. God bless you.
Brother Roger.
I just feel a need to open up my life tonight. The Lord really smote me again this morning with, I guess, what I'm not doing. As I listened to the testimonies this morning, I saw that in my possession I have the gift of God and His love for me, and I have the power in my hands to go out and share it with somebody else. And So I heard Don's testimony about how somebody was knocking on doors and just smote my heart again today. And here I am. I have the gift, and I'm in a way being selfish because I have not been as faithful as I should be in sharing with others. And I'm not sure how to go about it exactly, but I ask for your prayer that I can be faithful to the Lord.
Marie, go ahead. Brother Mark.
I also felt that I want to open my life before you all as my brothers and sisters, the body of Christ. It was only a few days ago where I was again thinking back over the last 10 years And I thought of the times when the Lord has asked us to give up. And He has done that. And that was only the beginning of the week. And then He asked us again to give up this week. And I'm thankful that my heart is not attached to earthly goods. And yet, my only regret of the last 10 years is that I'm not further on spiritually. And I do ask you, my brothers, to speak into my heart, my life, if you see, I know there's needs there. And I just want to open myself to that. I also want to thank the brothers and sisters for the help they've given us and encourage the last couple of days. I know this morning I thought, is there not an exit, a way out of this? And then I was encouraged again by Debbie, the verse she shared. Where else would we go but to the Lord? So I was just encouraged and convicted today. Mm-hmm. And with also what Dawn shared, I look forward to the day when I'll be with Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's my goal.
Marie?
I just want to praise the Lord for the work He's been doing in my own heart over the last couple of weeks. Really been seeking the Lord and just asking Him to do a deep work in my heart. The Lord's just been showing me my selfishness and my not trusting Him and not trusting my authorities and couple weeks ago, we went through our music and stuff and gotten rid of a bunch of it, and I felt some freedom after that, but it was like there was something in me, I just didn't know what to do. I don't know, I didn't really know why I was feeling the way I was, and the Lord really convicted me that I wasn't trusting Him, knowing that I can walk away from this music and trust Him to guide me and direct me, and that I won't fall back into it, and that I can lean on His everlasting arms, and that He can hold me up, and that I can leave it in His hands, and He'll work out the rest. And I just praise God for His faithfulness and His love towards me, and for bringing these things into my life to purify me, and I ask for your prayers as the Lord's continuing His work in my life.
Amen. We will pray for you, Marie. Is there anyone else that has a confession? Someone needs to confess something, clear their heart here this morning, Brian?
Yeah, I just want to humble myself. Lord's been working my life since Bible school. I can feel a little bit like Brother Mark, and it's gonna be 15 years that I know that I got born again, and I just feel like I wasted so much time. I just want to sell out to the Lord, whatever that means. I've been wrapped up in my business quite a bit, trying to get that going. It's not worth it. So I'm going to open my life up to you all. I need your help. I don't know how to handle money. I confess that before you all. I need your input. I need some direction. So please help me. I have such a desire in my heart to to stand before the Lord Jesus someday, hear Him say, "Well done." And I don't know if He could say that today. So, pray for me.
Anyone else have something they just want to share with the congregation here? Clear your heart here. Do you have another one there?
Yeah, I just want to stand up and make confession. I've had a lot of pride in my heart, and I've struggled with it. I've been proud in ways that doesn't seem to be real bad. Seem to be proud in what God's doing for you, and I just want to stand up and confess the sin. And you can pray for me and talk to me about it. See it coming up again in my life. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.